Well, good morning again.
Whoa!
We are coming out of the Old Testament this morning. If you turn to the book of Malachi, just go to Matthew 1 and go one page to the left, and you'll be right where you need to be. And I want to talk about finances today. Oh, good. I'm glad I came to church today. He's going to talk about money. Yeah. Well, it's one of the most important things in Scripture, obviously, and it's one of the most important things in our lives, even though we skew the meaning and the application of what we do with our money. That's why we need the Lord's Word, right? To get it straight again. So we're going to do it today. We're going to get it straight. God loves a cheerful giver. Amen? Say it with me. God loves a cheerful giver. He really does. 1 Corinthians 9:7. Most of us rightly think of 10% when we think of giving, and here's why. We're going to Malachi chapter 3. I know your bulletin says chapter 6. There is no such thing, so just go to chapter 3. My bad on that one, and verse 6. I, the Lord, do not change. Well, that is humbling to read that in the first person. I, the Lord, do not change. So you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Well, because I don't change, that's the only reason I'm not going to kill you. That's what he says. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. What a horrible thing to be reminded of that. By the voice of the Lord. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. Thank God. He always says, come back to me, I will come back to you. He is faithful in his goodness. But you ask, how are we to return? And God answers, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed God. Me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings, he said. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven. And pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it. Ooh, I like that last part, don't you? The blessing that we wouldn't have room for. Well, let me talk about giving this morning. I'm going to talk about tithing, too. I'm going to keep tithing in the Old Testament because that's where it belongs. God required of the Jews, of his people, a tithe, the Lord's tithe, he called it. Leviticus 27:30 said, 10% of everything you have and earn, I want. I want you to give it to me as a testimony of your love and your obedience to me. It was a covenantal thing. It was not optional. And most of the Jews of the Old Testament played it that way. Most of them. Obviously, some of them didn't in Malachi. The basic 10% was for the priesthood, the Levites, to have a living because they were busy with the temple and the sacrifices, and they couldn't work, and so they were supported. Just a rough image of ministry in these days, not exact parallel at all. The second tithe, what? A second tithe, festival tithe, Deuteronomy 12, 10, and 11, was another tenth, which included the burnt offerings, the sacrifices, and special gifts. So two compulsory tithe offerings were required of the Jews, Deuteronomy 14. And this one was at the end of every 3 years. There was also, on top of that, the third of a shekel temple tax that they paid to keep the temple going. All told, over 23% right off the top. How about it? Wouldn't that be fun? It was a requirement. On top of all that, there were voluntary free will offerings at different festivals. So many were giving a total of 30%, perhaps even 40% if they're generous. Huh. That's commitment. That's what we call buying in, so to speak, to the Lord's work. But the key is, it was all considered grace-giving. It was supposed to be considered gracious giving, thanksgiving. Financial folly, the name of my message here, it's mishandling the resources that God has shared with us by being selfish, because it apparently gets under his skin when we do. What gets under God's skin? Well, it's real simple. Not giving. Yeah, I'm not here to lay a guilt trip on you, okay? You're gonna understand a little better in just a few moments. But not giving, whether it's required or free will, when opportunity arrives, is an insult to God, the great giver. He gave you life. He gave you abundance. He gave you covenantal love that never stops, forgiveness that never stops, and abounding grace that never stops. To not reciprocate in kind as much as we can before the Lord to his love extended to us is not just an act of disobedience, an absence of obedience, it's an insult. He puts it more dramatically than I do. He says, y'all are robbing me. You're robbing God. So, oh, well, it won't hurt God. He's got everything, right? Yeah. Well, I wonder if it doesn't hurt God. To not reciprocate to his love extended to us is not just an absence of obedience. It is an insult. He puts it more dramatically, you're robbing me. Some things take God's patience to the limit. And he reveals those to us, and one of them is being revealed now. And he says so. God says, I love you. I want the best for you. Do these things. And, of course, he's saying to the Old Testament Jews, tithe and give the offerings as we outlined before. God loves a cheerful giver. How many of the Jews who were getting this message might have felt they were giving cheerfully? Well, I tell you, the ones who love the Lord the deepest did. In fact, that's the same today. Those who love the Lord the deepest, who fully and more graciously appreciate what he's given to us, give with a smile to anything that represents his work. What gets under God's skin? He says, you're not keeping my statutes. You are disobeying me one time after another. In earlier times, the people had forsaken God by running after idols. Now it's later in the history of Israel, and the prophet Malachi is called upon to give them a message. So they were put under judgment in those days, and they ended up with Babylonian captivity. Now, post-Babylon, now he says, you're doing it again by not doing what we agreed to. Remember the tithe. Now, really, is it the money? No. It is the money, but that isn't really the money. God owns everything. Everything. He's not going to go broke if you don't give to him. With a snap of a finger, he could siphon all the riches of the world and have it by fiat, even your money. He doesn't need people's money. He doesn't need it at all. He wants their obedience. He wants their reciprocate response to his love and grace. All the provisions that he has for them. He wants them, rightfully expects them to show their respect, their thanks, their love in tangible ways. How else do we ever do it? Can you show your thanks in intangible ways? Well, even when we say it, it's tangible. His law was for the benefit of everybody, he said. The dollars didn't just automatically rise to heaven on their own. Not only are you disobeying me, God said to the nation, you're robbing me too. What gets under God's skin? You're robbing me. Thievery gets under God's skin. A lover's quarrel is when one party commits an act of betrayal against another. There's a disagreement between God and his people here in Malachi, and maybe here in our lives. When one party commits an act of betrayal, God begins, because he is the one who's been betrayed, so he begins the argument. Somebody in this relationship has moved, and it wasn't me, he says. I don't change. I never change. But you've been turning away from the agreements that we've made, and so he pleads with them, listen to the words, return to me, and I will return to you. Verse 7. You know, quite aside from the money aspect, this verse 7 is haunting. Return to me, and I will return to you. Well, you know, I've been living my life a long way, and I just don't feel God anymore. Guess who moved? Return to me. I will return to you. Oh, I loved it when I was a new Christian. Man, I was on fire. I was reading the Word of God. I was fellowship with Christians, leading friends to Christ. And you know, since then, the fire sort of burned out. Who moved? Return to me, and I will return to you. You want revival? Do what God says. Just listen to him and do it. Return to me, and I will return to you. Not only are you disobeying me, you're robbing me too. The people said, how are we to return? Stop robbing me. How are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings. Rather than robbing God, what is the best response to God? God loves a cheerful giver. There ought to be a song written about that. Because if you put the music, you remember it better. Do you? What is it? Yes. See, here I am preaching this long sermon. You could have just sung that song and everything would have been. Yeah. God loves a cheerful giver. 1 Corinthians 9:7. 1 Corinthians 9:6 says, whoever sows sparingly reaps sparingly. Whoever sows generously reaps generously. God is aware of our patterns of giving. Not only our money, our whole lives. Let me tell you about Dale Schroeder. Dale Schroeder was a blue-collar, lunch-pail kind of guy. He went to work every day, worked really, really hard, and he was frugal, like a lot of Iowans. He was from Iowa. So back in 2005, he told his lawyer, I never got the opportunity to go to college, and so I'd like to help kids go to college. The lawyer looked skeptical back at this workaday, lunch pail carrying guy. So when this working class tradesman went to the lawyer and set up the scholarships, the lawyer's jaw dropped when Schroeder disclosed the amount he had saved. As a frugal man without a family, he put together $3 million. He wanted to be at the scholarship fund that has made it possible then for 33 people to be fully funded at college. Kyra Conrad, the last of the 33 to go to college on Schrader's money, paid in full by him, said, "I grew up in a single-parent household, and I had three older sisters, so paying for all four of us was never an option. Now, for a man that would never meet me to give me basically a full ride to college, that's incredible. That never happens." You know what I thought? For God, who has everything, to give me anything, it's a blessing. But he gave me heaven. He gave me Jesus. He gave me a family, an income. He gave me a life. What do I owe God? Well, let me see. 10%? No. My life. He gets it all. As a matter of commitment. So, Schrader gone. There's no paying it back. His only wish that they pay it forward by building a fund for someone else. And these 33 Iowans that Schroeder put through college got together just recently and had a meeting, and in the middle of the meeting was Schroeder's lunchbox. And with him gone, all these people now graduated are doctors and teachers, nurses, therapists with no college debt. His only wish that they would pay it forward by emulating his generosity. God loves a cheerful giver. To have received from his loving hands all that we need, and he says, "You know, I'd be a lot happier if you would respond generously toward me, but you would be a lot happier if you responded generously toward me. And it's you I love." He's not upset, not like he was in the Old Testament. Man, it was fire and brimstone there, wasn't it? "You robbed me. I'm going to get you back." But here in the New Covenant, we have a fuller explanation of what God meant. Emulate his generosity. Oh, so that's what God wants. For me to give like he gives. Oh yeah, God loves a cheerful giver. That's right. What gets under God's skin? Not so much that you're robbing him. You're robbing yourselves, he says. You don't give back to me, you rob yourself. You put yourself under a curse, he said to the Jews. You put yourself under a curse. You're bringing spiritual danger on yourselves by not keeping your promise to me. It was a covenantal promise, these tithes. You've drifted from me. In addition, you're robbing me, and you're robbing yourselves. You're robbing others because of those that you could have helped through funding the temple, the church, whatever. Clearly, God is saying, it's not the money. I can do that. But I won't. I'm leaving that to you. So it's not the money, it's your obedience. God loves. Go ahead and say it. You know what I saw? Most of you. God loves a cheerful giver. I'm going to ask you in a few minutes to say it again with a smile. God loves a cheerful giver. Good. What's important to God? We're going to talk about what bothers him. Let's talk about what's important to him. Not your tithe. Not your tithe, your obedience. Saying to God, you have done everything for me. You saved my soul for eternity. What can I give you? What can I put into your work? I'm going to be here a few more years. Let me do what I can. Cheerfully. Obediently. It's not a simple commandment keeping. It's about showing God that what he does for you means something to you. It's about building this other one-sided relationship otherwise between yourself and God. He can do just fine without your money. 10%, 23%, whatever. Can you, if you don't give it? That's a question we have to ask. Now, thank God we're not under the legalistic bonds of the Old Testament. We're not bound that way. But then again, we who have come to the end of the ages, who know Christ, the fulfillment of every promise of God throughout history and to the Jews, we know him personally. I would think that that would command even more generosity. Why would a Christian, freed from the law, let a Jew bound by law outgive him? It's a question. And most of you are saying what I've said a lot. Hey, Pastor, leave me alone. I don't have that much. It's already committed. Well, you got to ask yourself honestly, each of us, myself included, would God say to me, you're robbing me and you're robbing yourself of the joy? Just a question. Religion isn't a board game. God's not counting his money and hoping to go around and go and get a chance to buy a boardwalk. That's not the way God looks at money. Your money is a statement of your love for God and for humanity because of him. So, I want you to understand something. Preaching about money and giving is one of the most difficult things I ever teach on. And the reason is because I feel vulnerable. I'm being honest with you. It sounds like I'm saying, please give so that I can get a raise. That's the farthest thing from my mind. The church has been wonderful to me. I got no complaints there. I'm not begging or anything. But I'm saying, please give because you love God. Smile now. God loves a cheerful giver. All right, that's what I want you to remember. That's the New Covenant translation of the, oh, you've stopped robbing me, of the Old Testament. What's important to God, not your religion, but your heart. What is an appropriate response to God's grace toward you as expressed in so many ways? Is it not at least to give back? Is it not even more to give in his name to those who are in need, those who's doing service in missionary work, ministry, the support of the spreading of the gospel where we can't? When we respond to his invitation to be generous in our giving, both to him and to others, he is most pleased. All my life, I have wanted to think God was pleased with me. This is one way I can guarantee he's pleased with me. If I give generous like he is generous, because God loves the cheerful giver. When we respond to his invitation to be generous in our giving, both to him and others, he is pleased. When we do not respond, he asserts his command that we do. When we obey, he's pleased and blesses us as givers. When we do not obey, he withholds blessings. That's probably the main difference of the new and the old covenants. He withholds blessings. If we persist in disobedience concerning our giving, our hearts grow hard and harder until the fire of faith is pretty well extinguished. Of the people I know personally who have fallen away from Christ, from the church, they are 100%, all of them were cheapskates in their giving. What can I say beyond that? It's a cause and effect relationship. I don't want that for any of us. I certainly don't want it for me. Be blessed by being a blessing. Let God smile on the result of your personal giving. Now, I'll offer this disclaimer. I always do this when I preach on giving. I'm not asking you to fork it over for Metro East Christian Fellowship. I'm saying give to God wherever you want to give it. And if you want to make sure that this pastor hasn't bled you, but you still want to give, give it to some other Christian ministry. Just give it. Because I don't want you poor, I want you happy. Just like God does. Because God loves a cheerful giver.
All the time.
All the time. So generosity and grace are so representative of who God is, so representative of God, so much an expression of his nature, that those who fully imbibe in this habit of giving, this grace, are going to emulate God. God wants to bless you. He wants relationship with you. He wants a give and take with you. Ever wonder why it seems to be hardwired into us to want to give loving gifts? Somebody has a baby. Oh, let's get him a gift. Oh, the grandkids. Oh, we got to get birthday presents for them. Good. We'll go shopping. We love to give. God put that in us. Sometimes we just kind of let it go sour when it comes to God, right? That's a shame because he's the one who blesses. I want to tell you a story about a man whose name you will recognize, Ken Jennings. You remember Ken Jennings?
Yeah.
Ken Jennings amassed over $4.5 million in game show earnings. Smart guy. The most notable of which was Jeopardy, where he won more than $2.5 million. Jennings told about checking a book out at his local library. In that book, he found advice on how best to avoid the difficulties normally faced by people who experience financial windfalls. People just get rich all of a sudden. There are unbelievable statistics, he said, that 3/4 of all people who have some big windfall, lottery, gaming, game shows, inheritance, 3/4 of them are completely out of money within 5 years. He says so many people are not smart about windfall money. So he said, I think it would be ironic if I, who got this much money for being smart, then did like something incredibly dumb with the money. He's right. With what God has given us, it'd be incredibly dumb to say, I'm going to be selfish. Why? Because God. Amen. Would you stand with me? We're going to pray, and I want to encourage you to be generous with God who is generous with you, wherever you do it. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gifts. We really can't count them all, but let's enumerate a few. Life, friends, church, family, job, home, savings, Social Security, automobiles. Lord, were it not for you, we'd be in tough shape. We need to admit that. Sure, we did our hard work, but you gave us the health to do it. You gave us the jobs. Lord, we owe pretty much everything to you. No, not pretty much. We owe everything to you. It is by your grace that we are where we are, including having received the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. With these few years left on this in this world, before we meet you, may we be found faithful, because you love a faithful, cheerful giver. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, I thought you'd never answer that. God bless you all. See you.